Joining me in the studio this morning from the Warren County History Museum is Director Dr. Eugene Watkins. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, that's a forecast for you.
Right.
Up and down, all around, and hello, spring.
Yeah, I guess that's spring. You're right.
Yeah. How are things going here at the museum?
Things are going very well. We're getting prepared for the season. We actually have opened up as of the 5th of March here, and we'll be doing our hours 1 to 4 Tuesday through Saturday. And we nearly have our new exhibit on the Golden Age of Fraternalism completed. It's open, but not quite all the signs and everything are out. But there's enough of it that it's quite interesting. And it focuses primarily on, I guess, what you'd call secret societies and fraternal organizations here in Warren County between about 1870 and 1910. And so that's been an interesting one to put together. I never realized all of the fraternal organizations. Most of them I've never heard of. And it's interesting because a lot of them still exist today. One that everyone always looks at is the Modern Woodmen of America, which is still an insurance company. And that's what most of them ended up being, were insurance companies. So they've kind of lost their secret society aspects and have taken on kind of a less exciting part, I guess, if you could say, insurance isn't all that exciting.
It is this year with those high premiums.
Oh, yes.
All right, so that's a new exhibit. What is any one of the societies stick out to you that you were just like, oh, okay, this is interesting?
Oh, I'd say probably the one that I found to be kind of the most interesting would be the Ancient Order of United Workmen. And came about in 1868, I think. And it's considered historically to be a kind of a groundbreaker for fraternal organizations because it was the first to offer insurance to its members. And there was an order, but here, and it's again, I find it interesting because they always use the ancient and, you know, all this stuff in their titles to make them sound like they're very old, but it was only established in 1868. And it's one of the catalysts for creating this age of fraternalism. I think that the Knights of Pythias and the Grand Army of the Republic are the three big ones there, and right after the Civil War, that get people involved. I mean, the studies claim upwards of 40% of the population was in at least one fraternal organization during that time period, and many were in multiple ones. And those groups kind of popularized that idea of joining those groups, and I think. Again, the big deal there is going to be that, you know, there's no television, there's no internet, and people needed something to do, and they were a social way to interact and make connections.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So that's open 1 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday, mm-hmm. at the Warren County History Museum, the Golden Age of Fraternalism, new exhibit. What are the other exhibits that folks can see?
Well, we have the spectacular agricultural equipment and tools exhibit that is there. That's one of our permanent ones, and that has plows and corn planters, things from the 1850s all the way up to about, you know, the turn of the century, and many of them were made here in Monmouth by, you know, the Patti Company and the different plow works that were here in Monmouth in the past. All the tools, it's amazing, the different farm equipment. I mean, I thought I'd seen a lot of it, but there's stuff in there that I had never seen before myself, and so that's a great one. We have the Civil War exhibit, that's another permanent one that hopefully we will add to, and we have fabulous woman from Ohio who is looking to possibly donate one of her relatives' Civil War swords to us. He was from here in Monmouth, and so we want to maybe add a little bit to that. We have now renamed our military room the Robert Dunlap Room for the Congressional Medal of Honor winner from here in Warren County, and that exhibit is up, and the really interesting women's clothing display is still there. We're hoping to change out at least one of them later this spring for history of medicine here in Warren County. We've been going through all the stacks in there and finding a lot of really interesting items. We have a post-mortem kit with all the saws and knives that they used, and if I remember correctly, we do have an embalming table that is in one of the display facilities, so we'll get that out, and so it ought to be some interesting items for that as well.
Yeah, you'll have to talk with John Turnbull. He has the Turnbull Heritage Museum, which is all has some embalming and how things used to be done in the old days. We call them the old days, right?
Right, right.
What is one of the most interesting exhibits you've ever worked on in your career?
Oh, I would have to say that it would probably have been the siege information there at Fort Meigs when I worked for the Ohio Historical Society near Toledo, Ohio. And that facility was a large stockade fort. It's actually considered the second largest stockade fort in North America. And the British laid siege to it twice in 1813 during the War of 1812. And we helped do some of the interpretive signs and things for that. And that was pretty fascinating because it's built right on the site. So they actually have artifacts from the fighting and it's an archaeological preserve. So you had to be real careful where you dug and all that kind of stuff. And,
sure.
And I think it was really interesting. I think it helped launch my PhD into being in the early Republic just because of the information we found there.
Yeah, you're a War of 1812 enthusiast, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. Which we just found. I have a gentleman volunteering to help accession items because we're a little bit behind. You know, we're always looking for volunteers, and he was going through some of the archival stuff that he was documenting and accessioning yesterday, and we found a Army bounty land grant for the military bounty lands that made up this area, dated 1818, and it was signed by President James Monroe. And so there are a lot of interesting things in there, and some of it does relate to the War of 1812.
Interesting. Now, when you talk about the golden age of fraternalism and the timing of that, 1870 to 1910, mm-hmm. Monmouth College was founded shortly there before. Were there any artifacts or anything pertaining to the college?
We have some displays already dealing with a lot of Monmouth College's heritage, and there was nothing included into the particular exhibit we're doing right now. I do know that some of the Greek organizations came out of Monmouth College, and as small as the room was, we kind of had to avoid those because they're more well known, and we were focusing on a lot of the strange unknown ones of the county. But yeah, they could have, probably should have had a bit of a. At least, well, and I'm not quite done with the interpretive signs, so we'll still probably mention them, but I have no artifacts that I've come across in the stacks dealing specifically with any of that.
Okay. We're talking with Dr. Eugene Watkins, director of the Warren County History Museum. Back open. Hours are up and running from 1 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. Got a big, big deal that happens here every October. Let's go ahead and talk about Magic Fest. Oh.
Yes, Magic Fest, it feels like it's coming right up on us quickly, although I had a school tour the other day, and we told the kids about it, and they were like all excited until they found out that it is at the end of September this year, and they were
okay.
And they're like, that's a long way away, and it was like, well, it seems that way to them, but it's coming up on us. This year, it'll be on Friday, September 27th, and Saturday, September 28th. Those will be the dates that you need to keep marked down. And on the 27th, on that Friday evening, we're doing the After Dark program again. This year, the magician that will be performing during that is Ben Ulin. Many people do know him from his performances over at Adventureland near Des Moines. And I have not personally seen him beyond videos, but I think that we're going to be highly entertained from what I'm able to gather. He seems to be quite an illusionist. Then on Saturday, September 28th, we have TJ Regul doing the children's show. It'll begin about noon, 1 o'clock, and that's when he will be doing the children's show. He has been an integral part of Magic Fest, I think, since the beginning, and most people have really seen his up-close magic. He is spectacular with the sleight of hand magic. This will be the first time that I'll get to see him on stage, so it ought to be an interesting one. We're looking forward to it because he's very entertaining. David Cassis will be doing the matinee show, and he's from the Quad Cities as well, and I've seen his act. He's very, very good, and I think people will greatly enjoy that. And then the closer is an internationally known illusionist, a man named Jay Mattioli, and the The advertisements or his videos that he has put out are unbelievable. I think that he's going to be very spectacular. One of the ones that I've seen is that he literally cuts himself in half and moves his body apart. You'll see the ones where he cuts his assistant in half. I've never seen the magician do that, cut himself in half, but he does that. And so it should be very, very entertaining. And I was asking TJ about the, you know, if he says something they go and they learn, they all know how this stuff works. And TJ said, well, I do the up close magic. He said a lot of that stage stuff even blows him away. He's not sure how they do it. So when the magicians aren't sure, it should be very, very good. And so these will be an amazing program. On top of that, then we'll have the food vendors there. And I think What the Fluff will be back. And so there'll be other things going on. The museum will be open at the same time. I'm hoping to have, and we can use volunteers for this, folks in some of the different rooms that can help explain some of the different exhibits to people in between while, you know, while the magicians are changing out the stages for their next show. And then, so at this point, really, we're looking for sponsorships. Anyone, I mean, we have, we've had a few already. You know, for example, American has jumped in to help out, LMP agency. We've also gotten help from Security Savings Bank. And so, and a few individuals as well. And so that's very, very helpful for us. And we're just looking for more because this is, it does cost quite a bit of money to bring these folks in, especially the internationally known ones.
And we have to remember that we do this in coordination with the great Nicola Magic Festival because that's he's from Monmouth.
Oh, yes. Yeah. William Nicole was he was born in Burlington, but he grew up here and he spent most of his life here. Crazily enough, yesterday I was kind of getting ready for this. And I was also looking at some of our Spanish-American War stuff that I wanted to move around. And I was looking at a photograph hanging in one of our storage facilities from 1899. And believe it or not, William Nicole was in the National Guard basically in 1899. So not only was he a great magician, but he was a veteran as well, which is kind of amazing. I did not know that. I've not found that in any of the books. And so we'll have to get that picture out and perhaps add to the display with that. He would have been about 19 at the time that he had enlisted. And if I understand it correctly, he was into about 1900. But yeah, he was an internationally renowned magician, did much of his traveling in Africa and Asia, and was quite famous in China. I guess they really liked him there.
And, well, he had an elephant.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, which he's buried here in town as well. An elephant was given to him by one of the, I think it was a prince or someone in India, I believe.
That would make sense. There's an elephant buried here in Monmouth?
Yeah.
And one in Oquaka? We got to be the only couple counties in the country that have two elephants.
It is very, very strange. Yes, I would assume it's because of the rail lines with the, you know, the ones in Oquaka. Because I understand that one was with a circus, and yeah, that is kind of interesting. Cause it probably is something that would make some kind of record. Because I don't know of any other places that have elephants buried all
two
over.
Of them right next.
Yes,
into, yeah, that's
exactly.
Funny. Go figure. All right, Magic Fest September 27th and 28th. That's a Friday and Saturday. After Dark is Friday. Where is that at?
Oh, After Dark will be held this year at the museum in our, I guess you'd say, our auditorium area in there. And the After Dark one is billed more toward adults simply because there will be alcohol served. And that's that. It's not that the show, because I think people at times think that, oh, the show is going to be some kind of crazy adult themed thing. And
no,
not really.
It's
just because there's alcohol being served. And otherwise, the, you know, there's it's just a fabulous magician.
And then Saturday is Family Day.
Yes.
And that's September 28th at the museum as well.
That is correct. It in the auditorium there as well.
Okay. Any other special items to talk about on that Saturday besides the illusionists? Do you have food or anything like that?
There will be. There'll be food vendors there. I'm trying to remember which one. We're still working out some of that, so there'll be more information on that to come. I do know that we have worked out with What the Fluff that does the cotton candy. They will be there again. I know they were there last year, and folks enjoyed that. And there will be food vendors out. And other items going on that day, I believe we'll have the trivia time again, and so that'll be a good activity. And a little background history as well. I believe that... Jeff is doing his talk on a little talk on Nicola's life.
And, Jeff Rankin.
And history. Yes, yes, that is. And so, again, that to me is part of the draw to all of this is not only is it entertainment, but folks get to come in and see the museum and then learn some history as well.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important.
Yeah, it's very good. And he has great knowledge of all things Monmouth, but especially history. So
yes.
Looking forward to it. Okay, anything else about the museum you would like people in Warren County to know?
No, just we're open. Come see us. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with everything that is in there and how much of your own past can be found within the museum. I'm amazed at how many folks visit and they will find their grandparents in a photograph on the wall or in the schoolroom books and things. So come and see us. Again, it's 1 to 4 Tuesday through Saturday.
And have you figured out, is it haunted like the lady said prior to you?
Well, we're not sure. The only thing that I can come up with that has kind of weirded us out is we've been working with the sound system, getting prepared for all this stuff, and I'll leave the volume up when I shut it off, and the next time we come to it, the volume's turned down, and we can't figure out what's going on with that. That's the only strange thing I've come across so far, and I don't know if the board does it itself or what's going on there, but one of the guys that works for me there is a little weirded out by that. But otherwise, now I can't say that I've seen anything that
okay,
makes me think it's haunted.
we'll keep looking. We'll keep tracking. All right, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Eugene Watkins with us, director of the Warren County History Museum on WRA.